God has blessed us with this a beautiful day and this beautiful afternoon, and has blessed us so far beyond what we could ever deserve. And He's blessed us again to be able to be with one another and to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I appreciate Mark mentioning me in his prayers and Larry doing that this morning. I'll admit to you that I need your prayers, and I appreciate that. Continue to solicit your prayers from time to time, and I hope that you'll mention me when you remember me, and especially this week we have a meeting in Perry County, so I appreciate it if you would keep that in your thoughts and in your prayers, and then during the first week of August, and so be sure to keep that in your prayers, and much good will result from that. The scripture reading was taken from Acts chapter 1. The first 11 verses. And there's a lot that can be said about those first 11 verses, a lot of sermons that could be presented from those first 11 verses as the Lord is having a conversation with the apostles before He ascended back to heaven. And then the Bible says when He concluded that conversation with them, that He was received up into heaven, a cloud received Him out of their sight, and while they were looking steadfastly into heaven, that two men stood by them in white apparel that said to them, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." And that's what I want us to think about for just a little while this evening. The thought when Jesus comes. There's a beautiful hymn that's in this book and in other hymn books that is titled, "When Jesus Comes." I like that hymn. Often that's used as an invitation hymn, and it's a beautiful hymn to use for an invitation. It has a lot of meaning to it. And so I want us to think about when Jesus comes and some things that will take place when the Lord returns. You know that there are individuals today who do not believe that Jesus is going to one day return. And not only that, but a lot of individuals who do believe that the Lord will one day return believe all sorts of things will happen when the Lord returns. And some of those things are not based upon what the Bible says. There's a very prevalent teaching called premillennialism. I've talked with you about that in sermons in the past, maybe some Bible classes along the way. And if you recall, I gave you a chart that charted some of those things out as far as what they believe will happen before the Lord comes and then when the Lord returns. And part of that teaching is that one day there's going to be a resurrection of just the righteous individuals who will be raptured away with the Lord and spend 7 years with the Lord in paradise. And while 7 years of tribulation is taking place on the earth, after the end of that 7 years, the Lord will return again and there'll be a general resurrection at that time. And then the Lord will establish His kingdom upon the earth in the city of Jerusalem and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And the great battle of Armageddon will take place, they talk about it. At the end of that 1,000 years, and there'll be another resurrection and a final judgment, and then heaven or hell. And all of that is contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't talk about that. In fact, I think I've sent out to you, or maybe mentioned to you, just a sheet of paper. Might have even posted this online. That would have everything that the Bible says about the rapture. Did any of you see that? It's a very simple handout and one that's very simple to put together because it's just a blank sheet of paper. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. Doesn't say anything about a rapture, does it? But it does mention a resurrection, and so I want us to think about that. Don't forget about the fact that the Lord will return. That's what they stated, those two men that stood by them in the first chapter of the book of Acts. And said, "This Jesus that you're watching go into heaven, He's going to come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven." In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. They also which pierced Him, and all nations shall wail or weep because of Him." And so, the Lord is one day going to return again. But what's going to happen when the Lord returns? Did you ever think about that? What will take place when He comes? Well, the first thing that I want you to think about is the fact that there's going to be a resurrection. And that ought to give us hope for those who have died in the Lord, that one day they'll be resurrected and stand before the Lord on that great judgment day. Notice, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and notice what the Bible says relative to that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, begin with verse 13. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, there's individuals that we can hope in. There's individuals that have no hope. And we need to understand that, that if we die outside of the Lord, we don't have hope. But if we die in the Lord, there is hope. And I don't know the state, the eternal destiny of individuals who have died. I don't know what their condition was when they died. There's individuals that I have hope for. But I don't know where they're going to spend all eternity. Now, we can be sure of that when it comes to ourselves. But we have hope in those who have died in the Lord. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? For if we believe that He died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Remember when the Lord had went to the grave of Lazarus, an individual whom the Bible says that the Lord loved, and this individual, Lazarus, had passed away, and the Lord went there and ended up raising him from the dead. You remember what his sister had said? "Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died." And the Lord said, "He'll rise again." Remember that? Remember what she responded? "Lord, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection." There's going to be a resurrection day. Now, to the world, that's foolishness. To the people in the world, they think, well, that just doesn't make sense. We don't believe in that. When you die, that's just the end. But the Bible affirms that there's going to be a resurrection. In John 5, 28, 29, that's affirmed. Notice, if you will, in Revelation 20, and we'll get to that John passage in just a moment. But Revelation 20, and in verse 13, notice what the Bible says in that passage. Revelation 20 and in verse 13. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Do you believe that there was going to be a resurrection? You know, there were some individuals, even in the body of Christ, who were denying that there was going to be a resurrection. Remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Paul went through that chapter, and he says, if there be no resurrection, and catalogs some things to them, says, here's the consequence. If there's no resurrection, then we're found false witnesses. Your faith is vain. Those that have died in the Lord, they've perished. And he lists all those things. And I'd encourage you to go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and read that chapter with that in mind. If there be no resurrection, Paul said in Acts 24:15, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection," and that's singular, not plural, "a resurrection, both of the just and unjust." In John 11, verse 24, when I just mentioned that to you a moment ago about Lazarus, Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at," now notice this last phrase, "the last day." And so we need to know that. Well, what else is going to happen when the Lord returns? Well, the Bible affirms that this world is going to be burned up. You're aware of that, aren't you? That everything that is in this world will be gone, perished. Now hopefully that helps us to keep our priorities in line. Keep things where they need to be and put first things first. And God needs to be at the top of that list, Matthew 6:33. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 10, he says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Well, what's going to happen when the Lord comes as a thief in the night? in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then, verse 11, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And so there's no doubt that these things are going to be burned up. If you continue the reading, he says, seeing then, or verse 12 rather, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Everything that we have, our houses, cars, whatever the case may be, will be dissolved. And hopefully, again, that will help us to keep things in their proper perspective as we understand that all these physical things are going to be gone, they're going to be dissolved. As Paul urged Timothy to charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor what? Trust in uncertain riches, 1 Timothy 6:17, but in the living God which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. But not only that, not only are all things going to be dissolved and burned up, but the Bible says that there'll be time no longer. Everything we do, it seems, in this life is bound by time. We started service at a certain time. Sometimes we may be expected to end at a particular time. It doesn't always happen that way. We go to work at a certain time. We keep appointments at a certain time. But there's no time with God. There's no time in eternity. In James 4:14, whereas you know not what is on the morrow, for what is your life? Remember that? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We're only here for a few years, it seems. Psalm 90, verse 10, so teach us to number our years that we may apply our hearts unto to understanding and to wisdom, to study God's Word. Here today and gone tomorrow. Peter stated in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, when he said in that passage that flesh is like the grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. But not only that, when the Lord returns, there's going to be a judgment day. Recently talked to some individuals about that great day. There's a great day coming. I like that. That motivates me. When the Lord returns, there'll be a great judgment day. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, but as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, what? The judgment. Life doesn't end with the grave. There's going to be a judgment, and we're going to stand before it. The Lord said, Matthew 12, 36 and 37, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. In Romans 14, 10 through 12, he talks about the judgment day. Notice what he says in that passage. Romans 14, 10 through 12, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 also talks about that. Who's going to be the judge on the great judgment day? Someone says, well, preacher, he said we're going to give an account unto God. Well, he did. But do you realize that we're not going to stand before God the Father himself, but before his Son? Notice what he says. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God, verse 12. But go back to verse 10. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You see, it's God's judgment, but he'll do that through his Son. The Lord made that clear in John 5:22. When he said, for the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Romans 2:16, in the day, talking about the judgment day, when God shall judge the secrets by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. We're going to stand before the Savior. He's already paid the price on the cross as far as shedding His blood. That doesn't mean that there's nothing that we can do or that we must do. But He's already been that sacrificial lamb on the rugged cross of Calvary. And when He comes again, He's coming not as a Savior, but as a judge. And we'll stand before Him. And we need to think about that. But not only that, we need to understand what the standard is going to be on that judgment day. It's not going to be what you think. It's not going to be what I think. It's not going to be what someone thinks down the road or what their opinion is. And we forget about that sometimes. But it's going to be what this Word says. John 12:48. Again, Romans 2:16, for in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to what? My gospel. Remember Revelation chapter 20 when those all stood before Him? The books were opened and the dead were judged according to the works out of those books. And so that's going to be the standard on that judgment day. But the last thing I want you to think about is there's going to be a reward. And there's no one that's going to get out of receiving a reward. Everyone will receive a reward on the great judgment day. But we need to live our life in such a way that we can receive the reward that really we want. Right? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 30 beginning. In 31, when He talks about that the Son of Man will come in all of His glory, and all the nations shall be gathered before Him, and He shall separate them as the shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. He'll put the goats on the left hand, the sheep on the right hand. And as you read that text, He says that He will say to those on His left hand, depart from Me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. And to those on the right hand, He'll say, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom, which was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Which side do you want to be on? What reward do you want? Eternal life? John 5:28-29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto what? The resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Have we lived our lives in such a way that if that day were to happen now, that if Jesus were to come right now, that we would hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or have we not done that? And we realize that if the Lord were to come now, He would find us unprepared. I would suggest to you and admonish you to do something about it. And the kindest way that I possibly can say is that you need to get up, turn loose of the ways of the world, and walk down the aisle and obey the gospel of Christ. Well, what do I do when I get to the end of the aisle, Donnie? You've heard the gospel. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? John 8:24. Do you repent of your sins? Turn your back on the ways of the world and turn your face toward God and His Word and obey Him in all things? Confess your faith before those here this evening that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be immersed with Him, buried with Him. Colossians 2:12. Planted together in the likeness of His death, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, to rise to walk in newness of life. And when you do that, the Lord will forgive you of every past sin that you've ever committed, Romans 3:25. And as you do this church, Acts 2:47, will you do that? Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away. You turned your back on the Lord and you know that you're not living right. Repent of those things. Turn loose of them. Confess those things to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. Why not come right now?